All right, we're going to read just a few verses together. Verse 9, Ecclesiastes 4, and verses 9 down through verse number 12. And let's read it out loud together. So let's get to that place and out loud verse number 9, ending in verse 12. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now hold on right there. Two is better than one. Amen? So I'm glad that at least two people are reading with me, and that is better than one. But let's get everyone reading in verse number 10, okay? Let's read that verse number 10 again. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let's end the reading there. Lord, I thank you for this passage and the truth that we can get from this. Lord, help us to realize that we need companionship. We are a lonesome people. With a world that is more and more connected, we find that people are more and more alone. And Lord, I pray that you would help us realize that we need to have a friend in a church. We need to have those important family connections. But also, we need to be here to contribute and to be part of the ones that are connecting and making friends and taking people under their wing and binding up the hurt and broken and being a friend to the lonely. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us get healing and then to help with the healing in the church. That is your plan for this age. And God, I pray that you would help us to not only edify one another, build up the church, but then go outside these walls and realize there are many, many more people that you love and you are willing to save. Lord, they need to be convicted of their sin, or help us to take the message of truth to them, but do it in love and bring many to you, Lord, these trophies of grace, Lord, because we are part of this ministry of reconciliation. And Lord, we thank you for putting us in that ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Together this morning, I want to tell a little bit about a man named David Wilkerson. He was a pastor in New York City back in, he started a ministry in the 50s and pastored a church there through the 90s. And he passed away a number of years ago. He died in a car accident. But David Wilkerson was a man who wrote the book called The Cross and the Switchblade. I've read that book probably four or five times. There was a movie made of that with Pat Boone, if you remember that, probably back in the 70s, I'm guessing, when the movie was made. But it was set in the 1950s. True story. And here's an excerpt from the book I was reading, and because I was reading an article, and it struck me, wow, that sounds a lot like The Cross and the Switchblade. So I found this in the book, and David writes, "Bit by bit, I got to know the streets," speaking of New York City. "One day, as I was walking down a Harlem street together, I asked Angelo, one of the boys we had reached out of the gangs, what would you say was the greatest problem boys have in this city?" "Lonesomeness," said Angelo quickly. Some of you heard of a man named Nicky Cruz. Now, of course, David Wilkerson, Nicky Cruz are not exactly our stripe. They are from the Pentecostal movement, but they taught born-again salvation, exactly like what we teach and what we preach from the Bible. And Nicky Cruz was reached out of the New York gangs, and this is one of the gangs that was reached by David Wilkerson. Lonesomeness was the problem. And David Wilkerson, I thought that was a strange answer. Lonesomeness in a city of 8 million people. But Angelo said the feeling came because nobody loved you. And all of his friends in the gangs were basically very lonely boys. In 1991, Vice President Dan Quayle asked some gang members in L.A. why they were in a gang. And they said it was not because of the excitement of committing crimes, fighting, or the thrill of using guns. They were part of gangs simply because they were looking for friends. In a revealing sociological study, a large percentage of Americans report having shrinking networks and fewer relationships. The average American has only one close confidant, the same study showed. The leading reason many people seek out counseling is loneliness. According to the CDC, in 2017, a youth survey found that 32% of high school students experienced ongoing feelings of sadness or hopelessness. And 17% said they'd seriously considered attempting suicide. There's a lot of sad, lonely people in this world, aren't there? And don't think that what I'm talking about involves people that are outside of this room. There are people in this very room, part of this church, who are very sad and very lonely. And part of being in a church is that we make connections, that we encourage one another. Now, church is not all about us. Don't get the wrong picture about that. It's a relationship, two-way street. You help, and you are helped. I think that is so awesome that God set up a church. His design, his plan for this age is the church. There's a really great opportunity, even outside of this church, once we help one another, there's a great opportunity, a world full of sad and lonely people who don't have Jesus, who are needing to be reached. There's a great opportunity for us as Christians to be the kind of friend that Jesus is to us. Amen? Heard about a man who fell into a pit, and he couldn't get himself out. An empathetic person came along. You know an empathetic person, somebody that feels sorry for you. You know, I feel your pain. He came along and he said, I feel for you down there in the pit. A practical person came along and said, it's logical that someone would fall into a pit. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into the pit. A newspaper reporter wanted the exclusive story about how the man fell into the pit. A realist said, yeah, that's a pit, all right. A scientist calculated the necessary pressure to get the man out of the pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the rock structure while you're down in the pit. A tax man asked him if he was paying taxes on the pit. And that's appropriate right now, right? We're starting to think about taxes this time of year. And I heard what's in heaven. There's no lock in heaven. There's no Glock in heaven. You know what a Glock is, right? There's a few other things that rhyme with that too, but I know the last thing was, and in heaven there is no H&R Block. So no tax man in heaven, praise the Lord for that. The city inspector asked him if he had a permit to dig a pit. An evasive person came along and avoided the subject of the pit altogether. Could you imagine having a conversation with somebody down in a pit, stuck in a pit, and trying to talk about anything and everything except for the issue at hand? Like not addressing the elephant in the room, right? A self-pitying person came along and said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. An optimist said things could be worse. A pessimist said things will get worse. But Jesus passed by, knelt down, and helped the man out of the pit. I think it's important, if we're part of a church, to have friendships in the church. I think it's also important to be a part of the ministry of the church, to make friends and to be a friend of people in the church. Verse number 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we see that a good friend lifts. Verses 9 and 10, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. There's times when you feel all alone. And I know that to be true because there's times when I feel all alone. And with my job, I'm dealing with people all the time. But it's still a very lonely job at times because when there are things that it's hard to even confide or even to share because I'm supposed to be lifting other people's burdens, not giving them my burdens. But there's always somebody that can lift your burdens. Praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is with us when we're in the pit, when we're down in the dumps, when we're going through a hard time. But also, God has allowed you to go through difficulty in your life. And you might be thinking, why would God allow bad things to happen to good people? Because he cares about people. And he's not going to give you anything more than you can handle. He'll always be there with you to help you through. But the reason God allows you to go through difficulty is so that you
can help other people who are going to go through those trials down the road. And when God gives you grace, you can say, you know what? You're not alone. I've been there too. And I love you, and God loves you too. And I will help you because God helped me. Paul told us that. He said that we comfort one another by the comfort that God gives to us. And so two are better than one. We should, as a friend, seek to lift people. Nobody is at his best when he is all alone. We need to have a church come alongside of us. We need to have a church with us. The Bible says there, woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know, the crosses of life and all of the losses are more bearable when we have somebody with us when we're in those dark hours. Go with me if you would. We're going to look at the book of Mark, chapter number 2. First of all, we see a friend lifts. A friend lifts. In Mark chapter 2, and you don't have time maybe to turn there. If you do, go ahead and look at it. But if not, up on the screen here we have this verse. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, and again he said unto, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And if you can imagine that when Jesus went somewhere, word got around. Of course, they didn't have texting, and they didn't have phones. They didn't even have a telegraph system. They didn't even have a mail system, as far as I know. They didn't even have the Pony Express. And but when Jesus came to a town, word would get around. You know what they say? One of the best forms of advertisement is word of mouth. And it's easy to sell somebody on something if you yourself enjoy that product because you're enthusiastic about it. You know, there's some people that are unpaid advertisers for certain products. And you've run into people, man, you need to get a hold of one of these. This is the best thing since sliced bread, right? And you need to have this. And this did wonders for me. Now, sometimes when we hear people say that, we start getting a little bit skeptical. And you hear the advertisements on TV, you know, call within the next 15 minutes and we'll give you not just one, not just two, but three, whatever it is, right? And then, you know, that's usually on late night TV if you're up that late. And the thing that always floored me was that must not have been that many people calling because a half hour later they had the same exact advertisement. Call in the next 15 minutes. And I'm like, you know what? I guess I can wait till tomorrow to get that as seen on TV product. But when Jesus went somewhere, there was a great crowd of people that would almost disperse and say, hey, Jesus is here. Come and see him. And it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway they're gathered together insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as the door. And he preached the word unto them. And another gospel says that they couldn't get in because of the press. And I always took that to mean there must have been the newspaper reporters there and they couldn't get in because of the press. That just meant that people were just so compacted into this house and the walls were about to burst because it couldn't hold any more people. And they wanted to see Jesus. Wouldn't it be awesome if the church was that full this morning? People wanted to see Jesus. Unfortunately, not a lot of people come to hear Jesus. They don't come to hear the word as much as they want to be entertained today. And they don't want to hear from Jesus. Now, Jesus in his day was doing a lot of miracles. Physically, he was here, his presence. He was performing miracles, and people wanted to see the miracles. But they weren't as readily to hear the message sometimes as they were to just see him feed 5,000 and, hey, I want to get another meal from Jesus and I want him to do something awesome. Do the thing, Jesus. Come on, do it. I want to see what you can do. And but the people came and they were listening to him as he preached the word unto him. But they came unto him, there came unto him, verse 3, bringing one of the sick of the palsy and there, which was born of four, and they couldn't come nigh to him. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. He was there. He was a man who was not able to get out of bed, and we see that Jesus Jesus heals the man. But he would have maybe have never even had the opportunity to be healed from his sickness unless his friends came bringing him to see Jesus. We see that he had some friends who cared enough about this man to bring him to Christ. We see that they lifted his burden. And praise God for when the moment when you're in your dark hour, when you're going through your difficulty, when you have somebody that comes along and says, hey, I got you. I'll be your friend. You know who your true friends are during the dark times. Not during the good times. During the dark times. And there's a lot of shallow people in this world who will not be by your side when things get difficult. And I'm not saying that you have to weed those people out of your life, but what I'm saying is just remember that there will be times where people will desert you and will forsake you, but praise God for the ones that don't. And do not be the one that forsakes people. Be the friend, be the Christian brother who comes along and helps people. Not only does a friend lift, but this morning he warms. A friend warms. And he is there to be that encouragement in the cold times, which we can kind of relate to, I think, right now. And in the difficult times, we see that a friend lifts, but also a friend warms. Verse number 11, the Bible says, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? The picture here is of a cold room. And the ancient solution to this is to get as many people together in and to generate a lot of body heat. And last night it got pretty cold at our house. I don't know about your house, but praise God for the furnace working. And a few months ago it wasn't working. And that was a problem. And it wasn't even anywhere near as cold as it is right now. But when we had a dog at our house, I don't know if you remember me telling you about our dog. How many of you remember our dog, Cookie? Some of you were personally acquainted with Cookie. And I just saw this in my office. My son actually drew a picture of our dog, and this is Cookie. Well, it says Dad, so I'm not sure if that... I'm not really sure, actually. He didn't give me a lot of explanation on this, but he gave it to me. It was on my nightstand last month, and I thought, oh, that's so awesome that Silas can draw, but not only draw, but he can write his... write my name, all right? He can write D-A-D for Dad. But old Cookie here has on a sweater, which of course Cookie needs when it's cold out. And we had a nice little dachshund. And she was a medium hair or medium length haired dachshund. And she would love to get in the bed. Not in bed, but in the bed. Under the covers. All the way down at the foot of the bed, under the covers. I don't even know how she breathed. We're not even sure if she was breathing down there. And, well, we knew she was breathing because it was warm. And I really missed that. I was thinking about that last night. I'm like, man, boy, I sure miss the dog being at the foot of the bed. There's times where you don't miss the dog, but then there's times like last night when you do miss the dog. And she would keep our feet warm. And it was like a nice little electric blanket almost down there, a little foot warmer. And, you know, that's in the ancient days, the old way of warming up was to get as many people together to generate all that body heat. And every one of us has experienced a time when we felt cold spiritually. We felt that, where is God at? What's going on? I don't feel right. And things are not going the way that they were going at one time. And things have gotten more difficult. And the Bible starts to sound dull. And the promises sound hollow. And we don't have some of that fire, the spiritual fire that we felt and experienced when we were first saved. Now, my friend, that doesn't mean that you're not saved just because you don't feel saved. I will say that right now. There's a lot of times where I don't feel saved because I don't feel well physically, or I'm going through a difficult time emotionally, or I'm feeling drained even spiritually, but I still have to hold on to the promises of God because the word of God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Sometimes experiences and emotional situations, physical problems can cause us to doubt the Lord. I think of John the Baptist. He was in jail. He had been jailed for preaching the word of God, and he began to doubt his calling. He began to doubt even the Lord Jesus Christ. There's times where we will feel the spiritually cold. Sometimes the excitement of going to church isn't there like it used to be. Sometimes it's hard to get motivated to even come to the service. And it is during these times that we need to be encouraged. Sometimes it's somebody just saying, "Hey, we've missed you. We love you. You need to be there." And in our heart, we know, yes, I should be at church. Yes, I should be with other people. But the excitement isn't there. I heard about a preacher who stopped by a man's house to pay a visit. The man was a member of the preacher's church, but he hadn't been there for a long time. And as they sat in front of the fireplace and talked about different things, the preacher leaned over. He took the poker and pulled a red, hot, glowing ember out from the fire and onto the front of the hearth. And without saying a word, he just stared at it, and so did the man. And right before their eyes, that glowing ember began to change. It wasn't hot and orange or red like it was, and it began to cool off. It began to turn black. And before it was too late, just before that ember completely went out, the preacher pushed it back into the fire, and quickly it regained its red color. And softly the man just looked at the preacher and said, "I'll be there Sunday." And we need the warmth of Christian fellowship. We need to be with our brothers and sisters in the church. And I understand we can't always be there physically. But we're part of a church. We're part of a fellowship. And, you know, last year we didn't have services for in-person services for about a month and a half. And that was a strain for some. For others, they were okay with it. And I'm not even talking about here in the church, but as I heard across the country, there were some people, they say 30%, and that's not true for our church, but 30% of the people who stopped coming to church last night because we all couldn't go to church, 30% never came back. That's a large percentage. That's a serious problem. And maybe they went to a different church, or maybe they just got comfortable at home. Who knows what the reason was? But I will say this morning, there's a lot of people that are out in the cold spiritually right now. COVID was hard physically, and I think we unfortunately focused so much on the physical aspect of the COVID pandemic. But the spiritual issues are still affecting us right now, physical problems. But spiritually, that caused a lot of problems in our world. I think some people were saved through the events of COVID, but then there were some Christians, marginal Christians, even good Christians, but they began to kind of move toward the fringes of the body and the fellowship, and they began to just drift away. And the devil got a foothold, because the Bible tells us, Peter tells us, that the devil is walking about seeking whom he may devour as a roaring lion. He's looking for an opportunity, for a way to inch in and worm his way into our spirituality and into our relationship with the Lord, but also the body of believers. I think it's important that we maintain that fellowship. That is upon us. It is an effort from us that we need to be putting forth the effort. Even when you don't feel like coming to church, do it because it's right. Amen? And not because of you. You do need to be warmed up spiritually, but also, there's other people there and that need you. And when you find yourself there in the church body, and you're maybe saying, "Well, I don't even know why I'm going this morning. I don't even feel like going to church today." And there's been times in my life, and I've gotten to church feeling like that. You might be saying, "Well, you're the pastor." Sometimes as a pastor, I felt like not going to church. But more or less when I wasn't the pastor, there were times where I'm like, "Yeah, why am I even going? Got other things I got to do. Got other things on my mind." But when I got to church, I found that there was somebody there that needed my help. And when I was able to help them, I helped myself. Physically, maybe it was a need, but spiritually for me, it encouraged me. Maybe it's somebody that just needed something done. And they said, you know what, I'm so thankful that you helped me with this. Maybe it was a word of encouragement. I don't know, but there's been times where I didn't want to go. But when I did, it changed my attitude. You know what they say, even in the secular world, action comes before feeling. Sometimes we don't feel like doing something, but we do it because it's right. And after we do it because it's right, then we're thanking God. You know what? That was the right thing to do. I'm so thankful that I got off of my laziness and got out and did something for God. Be in the church because you need to be there. You need to be there for others, but also yourself. A friend lifts, a friend warns. But thirdly this morning, a friend sticks. Verse number 12, we see there that if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That word prevail has the idea of overwhelm. If somebody is overwhelming a soldier, the picture is of a soldier. He's surrounded by his enemies. Two shall withstand him. It refers to the ancient military tactic where soldiers would even fight back to back. They were fighting together. It was like a singular unit. Two is better than one. And I don't have time maybe to go through all the statistics, but of course we know that two horses can pull more than one horse, one horse by itself, maybe even two horses. You put one horse by himself, two horses can do more than two when they're together. When they're yoked together, two horses have the ability to pull more weight than one horse over here and one horse over here by themselves. Even those numbers added together, two horses can do more when they're together. And so we see that a friend sticks when we're prevailing or being prevailed against, and we stick together when we withstand the enemy. We will have a greater chance of being able to subdue our what is advancing against us. Everybody needs help. We all need help. We can't stand alone. There's a lot of people that try to stand on their own two feet, but you need the body of Christ. You need the church body. You need the church family with you. That's by God's design. And everybody needs help. When you can't go another step, the Lord will carry you. The Lord will help you. And there's even people in the church that will help you and encourage you. But you're not going to get the help when you just stay at home. Jesus will help you, but he also can help you and me when we're working to help other people as well. A little boy who was frightened one night during a big storm, thunderstorm. He terrified when he called out from his room. He said, "Daddy, I'm scared. It's thunder." Saw the flashes of lightning. "Daddy, I'm scared. Come help me." And his father, not wanting to get out of bed, he said, "Don't worry, son. God loves you. He'll take care of you." There was a moment of silence, and the little boy said, "I know God loves me, but right now, I know he loves me, but right now, I need somebody with skin on. I need somebody to come help me." And you know, the reality is God is always with us. We understand that. But there's times where we just need somebody with skin on. We need somebody to physically come and help us. You know, the Holy Ghost could have imparted to the Ethiopian, the eunuch, about what the Isaiah scroll was saying. But guess what? The Holy Spirit raised up a man named Philip to go into the desert and to come alongside a man who is searching for the truth. And he explained to him out of the scriptures what the Bible was saying, what the Old Testament was saying, and what the New Testament implication was, what the gospel was, and how it related to Isaiah. And God uses men and women physically to do spiritual things. Don't even mistake that. You know, we many times we understand that overemphasizing man is not good. The flesh is not good. The spirit is what we should be striving to feed, not the flesh, right? Amen? And we many times, unfortunately, in churches, we lift up man. And we shouldn't lift up man. We should lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And God should be glorified in the church. Amen? But God uses the physical to do a spiritual work many times. That's why he has the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell you as a Christian. Not so that you can have some kind of spiritual experience, but so that you can be empowered to do the work of God. And God uses men. He uses women. He uses children. He uses people that think they're beyond their prime. And, oh, God's done with me. As long as you're taking a breath in your body, God has a ministry for you. And my friend, I have to just tell you, it's through the local church. God uses the church. Church is here to edify, to build up, for accountability. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that try to do things outside the church. Where's the accountability? God uses the leadership of pastors. Uh-oh, men. God uses the leadership of elders and deacons. Uh-oh, men. Physical. No, God uses men that are yielded to him. And God will use you, and he's called you to a work, but you have to yield yourself to him. I'm available, God. You don't have to figure out what God's calling on your life is. Just give him your life. Just say, I'm available. You might be thinking, well, I don't want to go to the mission field. I'm not ready to do that. Well, I don't want to preach. I don't want to be a soul winner. You need to change that attitude. You might be saying, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. That's okay. But just say, Lord, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. Wherever you're available, God will work. God will do something. And so we need to be together. I've never been in a real fight, but I remember hearing stories. My Sunday school teacher years ago used to talk about his days growing up in the streets of Chicago. And he talked about how, remember Brother Cleveland, he's with the Lord now. But he talked about how he had some friends, and he was with his buddies and a young man, and one of his enemies came up and started a fight with him. And he felt pretty confident at first until he looked behind him and he saw all of his friends running away. And then he ran away too. You know, we feel pretty confident when we have others with us, don't we? But as soon as somebody, one of our best friends in all the world, leaves and deserts us, it's hard to stand alone. It's difficult. You might be saying, well, I hate that when that happens. But let's not do that to other people. When we're in a church, we have a commitment here. We're part of this body. We should be committed one to another. Amen? We should stick together. A cord, as it says there, three strands. A three-stranded cord is not quickly broken. The only friendship that will be all it can be and will be is when there's two people, and the third component is God. In your marriage, we many times see this example of even a pyramid, or a triangle, if you will. And when you have one spouse over here and one spouse over here growing together, it's because they're becoming more like Jesus Christ, who's in the center. And many times we want to get to know one another, but as we get to know the Lord and your friend gets to know the Lord, it's inevitable that you will become more in common. You have more things in common. Unfortunately, when people get away from God, even in church, when people get away from God, they start feeling, I don't have things in common with my brothers and sisters. I don't really even feel like I have a place there at church because they're not growing towards the Lord when everyone else is growing to the Lord. And so your interests begin to become different. And then many times that's why people leave church, because they have nothing in common. It's not that they're not saved. It's not that they might even still, you know, I love the Lord, but maybe it's just words, I don't know, but they're not growing in their relationship with him. They may completely understand that God is their Savior, Jesus saved them, but if they're growing towards the world and not towards the Lord, and everyone else in the church is growing towards the Lord, that's going to cause there to be fractions in that relationship. But a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Two people with God in the center will help that relationship to be all that it can be. And with Christ, when we have Christ, any relationship with Christ in it will have that extra support. So I have two questions for you this morning. Do you have friendships in the church? Do you have friendships in the church? Research has revealed that those surveyed who feel they have a healthy sense of community in their church have on average seven vital relationships. Seven vital relationships in the church. God never designed us to just get together on Sunday and that to be the extent of our relationship. We should be growing together, more like Jesus, but getting to know one another. There are a lot of one another commands in the New Testament. You know, it's impossible to one another yourself. You have to have someone else in order to love one another. That's part of being in the church. Love one another. Pray for one another. How do you know what to pray for if you're not with one another? We have to be together in church. Do you have friendships in the church? Secondly, this morning, do you have a ministry in the church? Not only are you being fed and receiving that need that we all have of companionship and spiritual companionship and friendship, but are you working in the ministry? Do you have a ministry? God has given each of us spiritual gifts to be used as a part of the body of Christ. And we won't feel or be fully connected until we're serving alongside our brothers and sisters. We're able to take part in this awesome responsibility of the Great Commission, edifying the body of Christ, but then also reaching outside the walls and touching our communities. That's so important. Do you have friendships in the church, but also are you in ministry? Are you involved? And this morning I'm going to ask that we close our eyes, bow our heads just for a minute. And we have the ushers hand out a ministry opportunity survey. But I want to just ask you, if you would pray with me, honestly, from your heart, if you're willing. Now, this is up to you. You don't have to pray this. But if you're going to pray it, do it and mean it. Ask God. God, I may not be able to do a lot, if that's what you feel. Maybe God has already told you exactly what he's called you to do and what you need to be doing, but you're just not doing it. And that, if that's the case, then just ask him for forgiveness and just say, I'm available now. But if your prayer is, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where it is that I fit into the body of Christ. God, help me to be present so I can love and pray for one another here in the church and I can make those connections and friendships. May that be your prayer this morning. But also in addition to that, Lord, show me what it is that you want me to do in ministry. Lord, give me a very clear direction. And Lord, I'm not gonna say no. I'm not gonna question your calling. I'm not going to say, well, I can't do that, because Lord, I know that where you call, you also equip. You're going to help me do this. But I'm just going to be available. And just keep it so simple. Just keep it so very, very simple that you're going to open yourself up to the Lord, whatever it is that he's calling you to do. Do you know I'm not called to the mission field at this point? Okay? But we're all called, really, to the mission field. Right here. Our community. And years ago, even though I knew God's calling wasn't to the mission field for me, but I surrendered that. I just said, Lord, I don't feel that calling, but Lord, I'll give it to you. If you need me, I'll be available. We could say that about so many things, but that should be our heart and our attitude. If you need me, Lord, wherever it is, I'm available. And if you do that, God will make it very clear where it is that he wants you to serve. And so part of loving our church is that we would be available to the Lord and available to the body. Let's pray together, and may you in your heart pray that simple prayer. Whatever it is for you specifically, whatever the surrender it is, maybe you don't know where you're supposed to serve, or maybe you do and you just haven't surrendered to the Lord. Whatever it is, just give it to God. Let's all pray together. Lord, I do pray that you bless this time as we've had in your word. Lord, help us to realize that we need to be friends to people in our church, in our church community. Lord, help us to find the area that we are supposed to be plugged in. We're supposed to be serving. And Lord, there are some people that come every Sunday. Lord, we're thankful for their faithfulness, but they have not found their place in the body yet. They're not edifying the body as to their fullest potential. And Lord, help us to each person here to be working towards our fullest potential by your grace. I do pray that you would work in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.